Is there, if there's any comments in the audience, we'll start with Ms. Ryder.
Well, the one thing I want to follow up here is I'm not encouraging everyone to become a snitch or something like that, but I think one of the reasons we have a big problem with cheating is that it seems to be accepted in the sense that people are apathetic about it. They don't, it doesn't seem to upset the bulk of the students. It doesn't seem to upset the bulk of the faculty. At least this is the impression that's given. And I think we have to get out of this mode where we accept this as inevitable or the way things are going to be and get into a mode where we're being proactive and trying to think of ways that we can avoid the cheating. So as a faculty person, one of the biggest frustrations is that we try to spend most of our time on figuring out what to teach you, not figuring out how to police you as students, okay? But we get dragged into these policing situations that sap the time away from what we ought to be doing, okay? And I think in many ways, if students were more aggressive about demanding better behavior from one another and from their professors, and if we were more aggressive about demanding what we expect from students, things would be a lot better. I see too many eyes averted.
Did someone have a comment right here?
Switching exams in your class and just push me off. And I think it's not only a problem, I think it's something that everybody needs to talk about, most likely not the professors and students that are here today. Most likely not and a large issue with professors and students that are here today, but mostly with professors and students that aren't here today and aren't making this a priority in their classes. And that to me is a problem. I've been in Professor Ryder's class. She took our everything away, books, seat numbers. But I think that's good. But then I've also been in classes where a professor said, "Oh, here's your exams. I forgot to make extra copies. I'll be back." And that's kind of ridiculous.
I have a comment too.
You hear?
Just bouncing off what Mike said before, he was saying that if our students are cheating and they don't know how to program, and they go into the industry, they start, you know, becoming real world programmers, quote unquote, it does really look bad. And there's so many places. I mean, I'm sure everybody who's, you know, trying to get an internship this summer has been interviewing, and I've been interviewing like crazy too. And there's so many places that just don't even look at you if you're a Rutgers student. They look at you, "Oh, you're Rutgers CS? Nah, we don't need you. It's okay." You know, or they say, "Oh, we actually don't have places for Rutgers CS students," or "We offer, you know, RCS jobs to students from University X." And you know, I actually asked a couple of these companies. I said, "Why don't you accept Rutgers students?" They said, "Because they come here and they break our systems." And this is I felt so ashamed. I wasn't getting a chance to even interview with the company because they felt that I was going to go in and break their system, and this was horrible. And that's what I said.
Okay, I have a comment to make. I have several, but I just want to make one. I heard here various stories about how difficult it is to, or how simple it is to cheat. So my question, I guess, because we are in computer science, we should have started with a more simpler question, which is, why do people cheat? Because if we want to solve a problem, we have to know the causes of this problem first. Before we discuss, we complain how overwhelming is this problem for us. Why do people cheat?
I was just realizing, you know, the whole issue of cheating is kind of a prisoner's dilemma, kind of little problem in there, any of those kind of little math logic problems, in the sense that, yes, it lowers the value of the whole degree if everyone cheats because no one knows how to do anything. However, if you're the only person that cheats and everyone else does all the work, then Rutgers degrees look good and you didn't have to do any work and you have a good degree. So you're trying to balance off of, I don't have to do work, everyone else will do my work, and I get a good degree at the end. And so that's it, because if everyone does it though, which is what's starting to happen, is that more and more people are cheating, the whole degree gets devalued, and no one wants to be the first person not to cheat because you know, they'll be that person that's not getting
it. This is a fairly sophisticated optimization algorithm here. You think that this is the way ordinary guy in the first year in undergrad way, he thinks this way, this sophisticated
I think it's inherent. I think it's like one of those just, you know, subtle, like implied, because if I can get an A in a class by not working, or I can work and get a B, I'm probably going to not work.
So they are cheating just because they try to optimize their grade, right?
Yeah.
Which is a very positive thing. Everybody wants to optimize. So then this in itself cannot be the cause, because everybody, including yourself, try to get as much as you can of the grade, you know? Or be stupid to try the opposite, to try to get the worst grade you can grade, right? So this should not in itself explain why people cheat.
Well, I kind of like your, on your door you have something, right? You have that, why come to me for more points? Why not just buy a degree? You had that article on your door for a while from an email thing. I thought that was a good point, right? Because a lot of people, honestly, how many people of the people that do cheat, what percentage of them, if you said, here, you can just pay us $5,000 and we'll give you a Rutgers degree, would do it? Right? They would. They would just buy it and leave. You know, and they wouldn't have a cheating problem. So, you know, I think that's the issue, is they just want the result without any of the knowledge coming in.
Let's hear from a student next. You want to come over here?
So what do you say about, you have the, what Tyler said, you have students who want to cheat just because they want an easy grade, but what do you say about students who might need to cheat because the professors are bad, or their TAs, they don't understand them, or the programming assignments, they have no idea what the professor wants, or like the complete opposite, to even finish the class and not fail, they're required to cheat because the class isn't providing them with what they need. Not that I'm saying cheating is good, but I've heard students address that issue as well.
I've got that written down right here. Some people complain the professor's too hard or his work's too hard. And my answer to that is, well, how many times have you gone to the professor's office hours? How many times have you gone to the TA's office hours? If you don't like if you think your professor, your TA is doing an inadequate job, what have you done to make your needs met? And you're paying a lot of money to go to this university. Is it really the case that the situation you're in is unjust and you're being subjected to it? Or is it that you haven't taken charge and done what you really should do as an adult, and there are options?
Real life, unrealistic expectations that you're expected to meet with impossible odds. The rest of the career.
But the expectations, I've had two specific cases where the student's parent came in to speak to me or saw Evie. And I found that it's really damaging to the student, because now, there's a clear case of violation of some policy. It's not necessarily cheating, but it basically is the same story. And instead of the parent actually telling the student, look, you should take responsibility and move on, the parent actually is defending the student, and I found it was very disturbing. And it's some kind of, I hope it's not an epidemic, but I've seen several cases of this. In any case, I think that we could argue about why people cheat and why they don't and all that stuff, and it's all different degrees of irresponsibility or whatever, but the point is, it's happening, and I think the thing that we really need to do is to have a consistent message that is sent out by every single course, and have a consistent policy that is followed. That's the only way we can deal with this, because from the stories that we've heard, some professors do the things that prevent cheating, and some professors don't. And then students will just look for opportunities, and they will take classes from professors who are known to be careless, who are known to be easy with this kind of stuff. And most of the stuff that you see can be handled, and can be handled really well, if we all do the exact same thing consistently. And that's the key.
Make students desperate enough.
That's a part in the hill. How do you know who's making?
So for example, suppose I take a class that's really hard, and the programming assignments are overwhelming.
Yeah.
And my TA, I don't understand him. The professor has office hours when I don't have or don't have time. In that case, no matter what the punishment is, I want to go to the class. If I go up to the administrator and say, I don't understand the TA, the professor never has office hours, what's
going to
happen?
Then?
We should have a different forum. Why are these classes so hard?
Right. I would say to the students who are cheating because they perceive the class is too hard, I would have to agree with the other panelists that at some level, most of those students haven't really exhausted all their possibilities. In addition to going to office hours, even just forming study groups, don't cheat off each other, okay, but you know, use your fellow students as a resource because, you know, four of you together are probably a lot smarter than you know, any one of you. And, you know, use the office hours and, you know, give feedback to the faculty and the administration if there are some courses which are really legitimately too hard, which I don't think there are, and you should have that discussion on why I see it's too hard, but I don't really think we're there yet.
What I have to say to what you had just said is that if it's a difficult class, everyone's in that class. So if you're having a difficult time, don't you think everyone else would be having a difficult time and that the grades would be, you know,
just there?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Can I make a comment? Please say your name before you say, you know, like say I'm so and so. I'm Vijay. Going back to why students cheat, there are different kinds of cheaters. There are these kind, I mean, they just cheat no matter what. Whatever you try to do, they figure that the only way that they can get through the class is by cheating. They cheat no matter what. And then there are these borderline cases. They start off being very honest, and then they see these other cheaters who do it once, do it twice, and then get away with it, with a better grade or whatever. And then you were working till 11:59 on a programming assignment, almost got it to work, and you didn't, I mean, someone else got it from someone else and got an A. So, I mean, those then join the set of cheaters, and that's the second pair of cheaters. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about programming assignments. That's something I want to delve into. We've talked a little bit about exams. Let's talk a little bit about the assignments people do at home. Now, on the whole, I've found that the computer science department doesn't teach you how to code. So, nor should, nor, I mean, there's you know, this isn't DeVry. I mean, this is, you know, Rutgers University, and there's theoretical background. And there's a different, you know, discussion there. But what I've found is that sometimes the students who can't code from the beginning and can't code in the end, like Michael had talked about. I'm wondering why, and I think I sort of addressed why these people cheat. Because they don't have as good a coding background or don't pick it up as quickly. But what can we do to prevent it? And if the solution, you know, is, you know, increasing the measures that we take to prevent it, you know, Professor Alex Aiken of Berkeley, I'm sure, has developed software, and I know we use software here. Do we use the software enough?
The one tactic that we're starting to use in CS110, you know, the programming assignments. Anyway, so one of the tactics we're getting ready to use, and I would think it's something that's doable if impossible to grade afterwards, but basically you give everyone in the class a different programming assignment. And so you have a giant, because in any given class of 200 students, it's not impossible to have, you know, like any given programming, it's you do this, you do this, you do this, you can mix and match, you can put it together, have a bunch of things. The people that have pain afterwards are the TAs, but, you know, as far as grading them. So, you know, that's a different issue, but that is a solution, is to give everyone a different programming assignment to begin with. And then, yeah, you can't really get help from anybody, you can't really copy from anyone, it's not easy to Google them because they're mix and match kind of programs, they don't really look realistic, but it's an option.
So, I was going to say that what we've done in 416 and 352, when I taught it, was we do run these similarity checkers. And another thing we do is have students work in groups so that, you know, if you're going to cheat with your buddy, you might as well do an assignment where you're working together rather than cheating off each other. And getting at the thing of what happens to a student when they reach a 400 level class and they can't program, I guess my response is, by then it's sort of like too late. You should have been a sophomore learning how to program. And maybe we don't communicate that well enough to the undergraduates. But you know, at some level, you have to sit down with the computer for hours and hours at a time in order to really get it. And if you're not willing to put that kind of time in, you're not going to get it.
So,
comment
in the back.
So I want to take a slight tangent on that. I find it hard to believe that someone goes through 4 years here and not know how to program only because they cheated the whole way, right? I think that the devaluing of the degree has something to do with the quality of the program as well, and so that's sort of a self-criticism on our department, okay, and the quality of the teach. Because, you know, if it really is the case that you can't get a job because you can't do Rutgers, it can't just be because of cheaters, right? It must be that that there are other ways that people can get past the class without learning how. And so I don't disagree with the form. I think that cheating is a problem that we need to address. But I'm a little worried that our effort seems to be saying, you know, it seems to me like quality of the teaching and quality of challenging an undergrad has to go hand in hand with dealing with teaching, right? And that side of the equation hasn't seemed to be addressed, right? You can't cheat your whole way through, right, in 4 years and never be caught and not learn how to program. So I find that hard to believe. Right, so there's got to be something hand in hand that's wrong together with that. So can you comment on that?
Yeah. Actually, you can cheat for 4 years and not be caught. And as far as what you said is that, you know, at the expense of embarrassing a lot of people, I could bring you people who are in my 400 level classes who cannot write a for loop. Simple as that. So, you know, if you need firsthand evidence to all these comments, you know, that's the best I can tell you.
No, but is that because of cheating that they pass up now, or is it because
there are other quality issues
that they managed to pass without it, right?
So I can affirm that the quality of education at Rutgers, I feel, is excellent. I've learned a lot in my classes, but the truth of the matter is I've done a lot of work in between. And if you're not, and sometimes I put in extra work. Like, one thing I do is maybe I shouldn't have done is I do all my projects. Even when we have group projects, I'll do them myself. And that's why I feel a good programmer and why I understand everything that's been transpiring in the classes. But as far as the other students, maybe they're not cheating, but maybe they're not doing any work either. And if you're not going to do any work, you're not going to learn anything. And perhaps the exams have been in such a way that you don't have to cheat, but you don't have to work too hard to do well in them either. And that doesn't say anything about the quality of the education, but how difficult the exams are, which is a totally different.
Maybe, so one of the things you can do if you're worried about people cheating on assignments is you make the assignments worth near nothing and make the exams worth stuff because you can watch them in a room and work on it. Maybe, this is really crazy, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, crazy thing, is what if they require people to take the GRE subject exam and condition to pass with a 70 percentile rating or higher to get your degree at Rutgers? If you don't get that, you don't get a degree from computer science, period.
That's putting a Band-Aid on a problem.
Yeah, it's a big, but it's a Band-Aid.
I think you know, we can go around in circles all night and talk about cheating and how people do it, but I think the bottom line is what Session said, and I think everyone will agree to that, is that what needs to be done is there needs to be a uniform system. It needs to be much easier. It should not take a year to take care of people who have been caught cheating. More people need to be caught cheating, and the professors who do absolutely nothing, and trust me, there are many of them, it's the majority of them, who do nothing in their classes to handle it, but these things need to change, and they need to be done soon.
I remind you to state your name and maybe your class here. Or your position.
Yeah, my name is Vivek Patel, and I won't talk about the rest, but I simply see one thing, that by saying that the undergrads probably must be cheating, isn't it the responsibility of the professors and the TAs to make sure that the grade is correct? Correct means not only correct from an addition or the answers look correct, but the fact that people could not cheat, we do care of that. Nowadays, if you have a company, you have to certify that there's an honesty throughout, right? Probably we should do something similar. I have raised questions when I was TA. I have raised questions. And undergraduate students, they have been very mad at me. I think that somewhere we are not taking complete responsibility in the way of being the people who evaluate. That's my opinion.
You're saying that people are cheating and we know about it, we're not doing enough?
We are not taking due diligence to prevent. There is prevention is a different approach than deterrence. And I'm talking about prevention. Yeah. I feel we are lacking in that to some extent.
So I'd like to get back to something that was touched on, I don't think we went in too far enough, is what can we do, or is there anything we should do to, besides just preventing cheating, to increase the success of our students? And I heard somebody mention exit exams. I think one thing we should really consider is entrance exams. Other departments have them. I think you have a lot of people entering a 111, our introductory course, and some people have had a few years of programming in high school and hit the ground running, and they're doing excellent from the very beginning. But other people who are just as intelligent, but they have absolutely no background in programming or computer science whatsoever. And, you know, I took 111 here. It's a challenging course if you have absolutely no background. And you know, what do people do who are struggling? You know, that out of desperation, people will do stupid things. And I think we owe it to our students to give them the best chance of success of living up to their full potential. And I think for those people who are intelligent, have good grades, but don't pass or can't pass the entrance exam, there should be some alternative, some kind of course that would be comparable to what these other students learned in high school over 3 years' time, where they could learn about the basics of computers and programming, so they won't be so overwhelmed when they have to.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I hope you all agree that, you know, teachers and TAs and the staff are really all functioning, you know, under good faith. I mean, problems, if any, are essentially because of the logistics of this, and some solutions are not as scalable as other solutions. And you know, the communication gap between different professors and TAs themselves. But I think we need to start by assuming that we are really, you know, the intention is there, and I think it's a question of the logistics and the communication, because and you know, everything else, if the students are coming in that are not prepared and so on, this is, you know, these are other problems that we can solve by other means. We can have entrance exams or whatever. The point here is that let's agree on three or four things that we should all do and do them consistently. And let's agree on penalties. And I like Dr. Martin's idea about, you know, the first offense gets, you drop a grade or whatever it is, and then that, and in the department, everybody knows about that. And so if the same person tries to cheat in some other class, then the next time it's a very serious penalty. And I think if the students, and then, you know, all these things about having people spread out and multiple versions of the exams and so on, will take care of most of the problems. And the, you know, career cheaters will still try to do this stuff, but, you know, hopefully we'll get them too. But that's, you know, let's try and, so if you have any specific suggestions about, okay, what are the two or three things that everybody should do on the exams and on the assignments, let's have that, and then let's, you know, just sort of outline that, yeah.
Actually, your idea of randomized seating and keeping note of where people sign, I think we should make it a standard. I think it's very good to be prevention. Yeah.
Professor?
Yeah, I'm going to point out, we have done that the last year or so, three, 14. Large room, at least twice the size of the number of students, and we assign the seats. As we put students' names, we labeled all the exams, numbered and labeled all the exams. We distribute the exams alphabetically through rows, and then the students have to find their exam. And that way, we automatically break up seats and come in. So we have done that.
But that should be mandatory for
the entire. I think it's a standard. I mean, there's a bit of. I mean, it's, any of these solutions you're talking about are labor intensive. In this case, there's labor in putting the stickers on the exams. You know, but we have done that. I think it's a good.
I've got a question just mostly to the students here. It's a simple question, and it is, you have the out-of-class cheating that goes on, and you have in-class cheating. So the out-of-class, we understand in computer science, you've got opportunities that you might not have in other classes. But in-class cheating, it's pretty much the same, whether it's computer science or English. Do students cheat in-class more in computer science than in other courses? Well, it's about the same university-wide.
All right, who thinks it's the same university-wide? Raise your hand. Who thinks that it's more in computer science?
I could easily comment on that. I'm a minor in math, so I've taken my fair share of math classes. I'm minoring in English, I've taken my fair share of those. And absolutely, there is at least, I'm not even going to say anything. There is definitely a lot more cheating
in class.
Everywhere.
Thank you.
Agreed.
Without a doubt.
Well, let's hear from this one.
I agree totally that I've taken math classes, physics classes, every class I've taken a lot of them. Turns out computer people cheat the most. A friend of mine caught the cheaters. He told the TA, no action was taken. I don't want to name my friend. I don't want to name the TA or the class I was in. It was there. And that was the saddest thing. I mean, he told me that, oh, I see these three guys cheating. Should I report? I'm like, all right, I'll come with you.
Just name the class.
I seriously don't want to get anyone in trouble right now. It's too late.
But the thing is, we did that, we told the TA, we made sure that the TA knew 100% that that was cheating going on. It wasn't just someone looking over, it was 100% cheating, 3-4 people looking at each other, doing everything possible. And nothing happened in the end. I got an A myself, I studied hard. Those people got an A also, and that I didn't think that was fair.
May I ask you now a second?
That didn't happen in any other class.
Just a follow-up of trying to answer your question, math versus computer science. What was the size of the math class?
Oh, they're much smaller, but accounting
okay.
for that.
You have the answer.
You don't, accounting for that, you don't see the cheating that you do with computer science.
You have the answer, right?
So my comment is, who here has taken other courses in the universe, like organic chemistry, physics, and other courses where there's, you know, large, very similar to computer science in size?
Yeah, I have a suggestion about the programming assignments. I have a class, I'm taking IT right now, and the TA makes us write a readme file or basically a write-up file and explains what you did in the program. So if you just have to write code, if somebody who's cheating is just going to write the code. But if you actually have to explain it, you have to understand how it works. If each professor enforces that, then maybe at least you'll find out who cheated, because you can just read that. It will obviously be a lot more work, but I think it's useful.
Copy that
explanation. Sure, then you can take that. You don't have to go through that.
Right. One thing you can do is to have them come in and you can identify. I mean, there is a sense that you can tell, because there's a lot of difference between the exam scores and the programming exam score. That gives you, and you can have them come in and sort of explain the program orally so they don't have a chance beforehand to copy that from somebody else.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is that I think the focus of the class is not on the programs itself. And that way a student can just take the exams well and get through the question I know how to program. So when they actually fail programs all semester long, they still pass the course.
Yeah, in 112, we used to have this policy where we would just drop the grade to a D if they didn't make a cutoff in the programming assignments. It turned out that people were getting more desperate, and even the people who wouldn't normally think of cheating were then trying to cheat because they were really scared. So then we sort of got it up to a C, and with that and the cheating check, most people don't cheat anymore. They work on their own, because they don't believe it. They don't believe that you actually have a program that can compare, and you know, and if they're in two different sections, then they think they're safe. So, but I think the penalty has been set at a C. So no matter how well you do the exams, if you don't make a person cut in the programs, you just drop down to a C. You know, we can make it an F or something, but that's for us to decide, you know, jointly and see if that works. Well,
I just don't think you should be able to pass a programming course than not being able to pass a program. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, passing with a C, I mean, if you go and look for a job and you get the C in all your programming courses, is the person going to hire you, or?
Just to follow up, someone made a comment about, comparing the results on a programming assignment with what you do on exams. So here's a technique that we have also used in 314. On an exam, we will ask a fairly simple question that comes directly out of the project. If the student has done the project, they ought to be able to answer that well. So then we correlate the project scores with the exam score on that section. If we find a major discrepancy, like a perfect score on a project, or a poor score on that part of the exam, we change their project score to a provisional zero. They have to come in and take an oral exam on the project score.
I like that.
It's labor intensive, because you have to do the check, and you've got to do this oral exam in that case. But it is a good technique. And we announce it, we let them know that we're doing that.
My name is Nadine, and I have two comments. The first one on cheating in CS versus the rest of the university. I'm a biology major. Biology is large lectures every single class. There's a lot more cheating in computer science, a ton more. I don't think there's any perception of a cheating problem in the bio class.
Well, do you have a sense of why? Because we've got
a sense of why. I don't have a sense of why, but I mean, I know when I was studying for organic chem, no one was worried about people cheating prolifically. I mean, there is cheating going on, but the sense you get just isn't anywhere near what you get.
You know,
computer science.
You know, I'll tell you the other major. Is anybody here a business major? You see cheating in business?
Absolutely.
See, that would be what I'd say, is that you have a lot of people coming into college and having to pick a major. And it's not, they don't pick computer science because of a deep love of computers. No one picks chemistry as a major because they have nothing else to do that day. Right? People pick computer science because they think it's where the money is. People pick business because they think it's where the money is. Not because they love computer science, not because they love business. And so they get in there, they don't have a real talent in it, and you find them cheating to get out of it. So you don't see this in chemistry and biology because no one's picking that as just, well, I don't know what to do today, I'll be a chemistry major. Right? So
that's exactly
one other question really quickly. We've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence about the amount of cheating. Professor McCarty and Dr. Marna both said they've had programs that do some sort of analysis or correlation. So if they could give us some idea about the percentage.
So in operating systems, when we ran it on the first assignment, it was about 30% of the class had cheated, which is...
How accurate is that, though?
It's, well, so what it does is, so just to give you guys confidence, what it does is it comes up with a similarity number, okay? And then you go through the assignments and you sort by similarity. And you gotta eyeball kind of what similarity number means cheating, okay? So you gotta go through by hand. And there's definitely cutoffs where there's no question that there's cheating going on, okay? And then there's some judgment as to the boundary of where that is, but the judgment call that we found was 30% were no questions cheating.
And let me add one more thing. So in one fall, we do the same program. And then what we do is when we set a threshold for the program with some confidence. And then we'll send an email out, one uniform email to all the students who've been caught cheating. And we'll tell them that your program is similar to somebody else's program, and you have a chance to come and explain. Because there are cases that there might have been something that happened that we didn't quite see, or you know, we don't want to rely entirely on the program. But and I can tell you with a lot of confidence that the people who are, identified as having been cheated from the program are in fact in that, you know, they have actually cheated. And it's very, very rare that some weird thing happens and the program doesn't work. And I think that message has gone out to most students, I would think, that all and it should, that all programming courses, I don't know about 110, but all the programming courses that actually write code in C or Java or whatever, we have a program checker, we do that checking every single time, and you will be caught if you cheat.
Can I see something when we catch them? The one thing I noticed in 110 when we catch cheaters, we just do it by eye because they're turned in on hard copy and we're able to look at them. And usually it's someone else's name on their program because they copy them. not really hard to catch. But when we catch these pairs of cheaters and we'll call them in, out of, you know, like 20 pairs of cheaters that I've seen in 4 years, like 19 of them went, yeah, okay, we were cheating. And that's it. And okay, we get a zero. Oh, all right, that's fine. Out of 10, you know, 10 points out of 500, not a big deal. They don't care. All right, that's fine. Got cheating. All right, I'm done. Okay, and no complaint, no argument, not a, oh, how dare you accuse me of cheating? Just so I was wondering, do you get the same response?
No, because if they get a zero on the program, they're not going to cut off.
So do they whine and complain is what I'm asking? Do they come in and argue, or do they?
They try. I mean, some people just accept it because they know there's no point. Some people come and argue, and we just show them the code. And then sometimes we ask them to explain what you did in this method or whatever it is, and we find that they cheated. And the penalty is severe enough that they usually don't make that programming cut off because they cheated, they really don't know how to program anyhow.
So yeah, we didn't find that because we made negative points in the assignment. So assignment was worth, 20%. Not only do you get a zero, but you get minus 20%. So it becomes a pretty significant penalty the way we did it, and basically it results in dropping at least one grade. So we did have people.
The major concern that I see is people cheat in programming assignments. I didn't find many people complain about cheating on written assignments or on theory courses or stuff like that. Now, one problem that I feel, which is I think most people from most foreign students here would find, that we do not have programming exams. So typically in India, for example, we have the theory exam and then we have the programming exam, where you get 3 hours to write a program. You don't need to get it completely right, but you do need to make a decent attempt. For example, someone cannot write a for loop would not get anything on that. And this is, I think, missing out of most programming intensive courses. A related thing is, for example, 416. People have problems coming into 416 and suddenly they're asked to write system code. They do not know how to use the shell. They have programmed all the time in Java. They do not know how to use shell. They do not know what is grep. I don't expect them to code because They can't get used to the environment. By the time the course is over, they realize, oh, that's how you open an editor on the system. And it's the there has to be a track which is separate, which basically guides students towards being able to write good code. And one way to do that is programming exams.
Now, do we feel that, or do the panelists feel that, you know, with computer science, there's some practical knowledge that needs to come, which is programming. And you have to pick that up sort of along the course of the way. Do we feel that there's a need for maybe an additional class or something where, you know, maybe a 110 that's a little more than 110?
I think Sesh could speak to this a little bit more than I could. We are trying to add two courses to the program to address the lack of programming knowledge. So one is sort of a pre 111, and the other is kind of a post 112. So Sesh could comment on the content of those. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll say a little bit because this is still in flux, and we really don't have all the exact details about it. But yeah, there is going to be one programming course. After 112, and it's really taking the next step where you're doing projects or some assignments and different things, and also you're going to be learning more about things like you know the 416 requirement where people don't know how to do the things on the shell and stuff like that. We're going to be doing some C programming. We're going to be doing some things with regular expressions, just things of that sort. Some work on scripting languages like Perl. And so I think that, and the idea is that by the time students have attained enough of a level of maturity in programming, whether it be Java or just Java, and then we can sort of get into some topics in more depth. Now, I mean, for the students who really are not prepared, I don't know how much, you know, if they have done their programming work in more level 112 in the way they're supposed to, they've learned stuff, then that the 130 should really help. And we are getting input from the 416 and the systems people in general as to what kinds of things should be handled in the 113 course. And I think that should be a you know, good transition or a bridge. Because now what happens is people do programming in their freshman or sophomore year, and then they don't do anything till before 416 maybe. So this will also sort of preserve continuity and make people maintain that level of knowledge that we need.
I just
want to
say something about something somebody was saying before with how much cheating there is actually on, you know, non-programming assignments and stuff like that. And I think Mike mentioned before that he was saying that people actually take the exam papers and change them and turn them back. And I know I was in a class with Professor Kalantari, and he did a really good job because he actually made photocopies of all the exam papers before he gave them back. And then so if somebody came with a changed paper, he would just look up the photocopy and he would tell them that you cheated. You're going to get a zero. So that
how big was the class?
It was pretty big. It was at least 100 people. Yeah.
100 people.
These 100 people. He made photocopies of everything, and that's, you know, it's a simple thing. In most cases, you'll never have to look at the photocopy. It just takes 2 minutes to make a photocopy.
It's not scalable. But there are other ways to work that in. I mean, I think one of the things that can be done creatively is to have whoever's reading it put enough markers there to know whether things have been changed, and that's not hard to do. And it can disarray a lot of people that way. I mean, when we think about these things, the important thing is for us to realize that this can be implemented. Can be implemented in a straightforward way without, you know, huge resources. If you're going to copy all the exams that you ever give back, it's really going to kill us.
Actually, one of my economics professors came on the first day, he says, I'll photocopy 10 copies out of the 100 people. And so it's an odds game. You want to risk it?
Yeah, risk it. Some creative things like that.
That's what he said.
And I'm sure we can do that.
Any further comment?
One thing that's not difficult to curtail that issue is, and it's simple and is scalable, one thing is to put a big X in all the
spaces. Yeah, different kinds of modern
right. And, you know, to be more, another problem is with pencil and eraser, and I've seen people, anecdotal evidence is that they'll have like a 30 on the exam, and then I'll see them have an 80 by the time they're done with the professor. I've seen that for
firsthand. So, and just the fact, first of all, that a professor would even do that is just beyond me, but I've seen it happen. So, and something that might be scalable, something to consider, and it might be too much, is that you get a scanner. And a scanner is a flatbed, and you make the student...
What is the time?
How is that scalable? you take a stack of the papers, you make them write on standard paper, and then you put the stack on, and it just feeds itself through.
Have you seen exam center students hold them?
So,
just one thing, like the other environment I've taught in, I taught at the Naval Nuclear Power School for 4 years, and they took cheating kind of serious there because the students, you think you have something to risk because you might miss a zero on an exam. Imagine having to chip paint the next day, on a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean because you failed an exam, and that's the kind of stuff that would happen there. So these guys were had very large incentives to want to cheat, and so we had, the exams were numbered, there was always someone with them, we counted them 15 times. When the students were given the exams, they had nothing in front of them other than a pencil is all they were allowed to use. When we gave them back, there was nothing else in the room, and they each had only a blue pen with them. And all the grading was done in red. They only had a blue ink pen on their desk, and that's what they were allowed to go through. At the end, they were actually allowed to put in changes into the front, why they thought they deserved regrades on any given question. Then that was all handed back to the instructor, and that was gone through. So the students got to see their exam, they got to learn from their mistakes or whatever, but they never got a chance to really do any kind of serious cheating and changing and stuff. And that was a very hard control and extremely labor intensive, but we were giving 600-700 exams on a weekly basis, so it was certainly possible.
One thing I'd like to say, we've talked about a lot of things, we've heard a lot of things, but I'm not sure, I don't see any administrators here, I don't know who it is, but when we leave today, what's going to happen with all this? And then I'd really like to try, I don't know if it's in the agenda, but to go over some things and what we're really going to try to push for as far as standardizing these procedures with handling cheating.
Well, that was what, the thing that we want to get out of this is 4 or 5 bullet items of things that we can all do, and then one of us will circulate it in the department and essentially take it from there. And so the things that I have here is Professor McCurdy's process of randomizing the seating and assigning seat numbers to the exams. That's one thing we can propose. The other thing that in OnePoll we do, just like what he does, is to have a question on the exam that is based on the program assignment. What we haven't done is to correlate that with the actual, the marks on that with the assignment, and take it from there. But that also works a lot because you're dropping the grade because the exam question you got 20 points out of 100 based on the program. That's something that I think everybody can do. About the programming exam, I don't really know if that's required or not, because we have enough weightage for programs by themselves that if they can't do it, then they will be dropped at least a grade. The thing about when you turn back the exam, and I know that this is a problem with a lot of PAs, and I think we need to communicate it to them that they should really, when they're marking it, give an explanation, because that also helps the students to know why they went wrong. And also, there's easy ways of marking the exam when you turn back, so they don't come back with some new answer that's not there. Other suggestions, and I'm just going to make them short.
She's been waiting for a while.
Thank you. I'm Sarah. I'm a fifth-year CS student. I thought it was a really good point you brought up, the question why do students cheat, but not addressing that, just addressing how to stop them. I think one of the most important answers is consistency. Most of the methods we have discussed function both on and offline cheating, but it depends on a lot on the motivation of professors. Many of these courses are very strictly enforced, and many of them also are not enforced at all. And you said you had a 30% cheating rate on your classes for the programs, and the students knew that you were going to run that through the checker. I think most of us have figured that by now.
Right, in that particular case, they didn't know.
They didn't know, okay. Well, I was going to say, I'm wondering what the cheating rate is for the exams where the professor leaves the room. The professors don't have appropriate sized rooms, don't control. I've seen professors who didn't ask their students to sit a row apart. I think these are some pretty basic things that are still not getting done, and I'd be frightened to see the cheating rates on an exam like that. Students know who's going to check and who isn't. And I think coming out of this as a priority should be to kind of bring up the bottom line as far as the standard of taking exams and stuff like that, where I see a lot of classes, your 112 class, a 3-portion class, you guys work really, really hard at enforcing this. And I think if you could kind of spread a little of that motivation around, it would be very beneficial.
Yeah.
the one other thing that I wanted to also bring up is what Stephen mentioned this about the academic integrity policy of design. And I think if you attach that with every exam front page and make them sign it, and that's probably, it might dissuade people from cheating. I mean, some of these are psychological kinds of things that might, I mean, if it's easy enough to do it, we probably should. I don't, you know, it's not a bad idea. Because, you know, doing that sort of, it raises awareness, and I think that's important. Because people are sort of, well, I don't really know I'm cheating, but I'm going to do it anyhow. But here you have this paper and you say, oh, okay, well, I should be careful.
Signature right on it.
Right.
Well, let's look, anyone who has comments, let's talk about solutions at this point. I think we need to gear more to the scalable solution.
The solution I think of is definitely check IDs and make marks in Whitespace. Also, you probably have a really good idea to have a mentally insane TA as people walk in the exam room. Go over there, over there, over there, over there. Because usually if you're going to cheat, I'm assuming you're going to have this pre-planned or walk in as a group. And if you're like an opposite side of the classroom, unless you're probably a big patient,
in the back. Yes.
I think there's a need for a central authority to whom all the professors are accountable, because if you have something like that, then okay, I'm a student in a class, I see somebody cheating, I cannot tell the professor because the student might go, but I can tell the central authority. And they could also work in the case in which, I guess, exams are standardized, in which programming assignments have questions related to the classes in which there are programming assignments, have exams in which there are related questions. So there has to be central authority to students can approach and professors accountability.
You know, combining your central authority with, you know, the fact that it's not consistent, maybe internally we need to have like an audit of these exams.
Right.
Maybe we need to have like someone like department head or, you know, someone like Salivi or whatever, actually go watch exams occasionally, like randomly spot checking professors and then just step in behind and say, you know, look, this guy's not here, nothing's happening, of course this is why cheating is going to go on. And maybe the answer is not to shame the professor, maybe it's now just give him a couple of, you know, assigned TAs there during that lecture, during that exam time or something along those lines. So.
And one other, I'm sorry, you should probably go.
I just have a very simple question. Again, it comes back to responsibility of professors. How many professors would be able to certify that the question paper we gave has never occurred from us, from our group in last 5 to 10 years, because people have a history of papers. Okay, so that again, that's another fairness question.
Why do we let students do this?
No, I'm sorry. I mean, what your comment is to change the exams every year?
Because sometimes I think what happens is that the questions are kind of in a year or two they keep repeating, so people already know.
Well, I have a large library of questions, and I should post it on my webpage, and if people can actually answer them all, that's pretty fine with me. But I just try to make it, you know, enough new questions every year that you got to be on your toes about what's going to be on the exam.
My point is not actually towards any individual problem, right? I'm saying it probably occurs.
Yeah.
If it occurs, it's...
Well, no, I definitely know of classes where the same exams have been used for maybe 15 years or something like that.
But why do students get to keep exams afterwards? What's the point of that? I mean, really, at this point, it only lends to keeping test banks, keeping large copies. Yes, they might learn from them, but...
If you're willing to change your exams every year enough that you know, you can't bring in a copy of an exam verbatim, I don't think it makes sense. I post the exams anyway, so what's the harm of writing?
Well, for certain people that don't, why give them back? It would be nice.
Real quick comment on giving them back. If you don't give them back, they're going to get out. People come to exams, they steal exams, all those things happen. And when you don't give them back, you form other little cliques that have different ways of distributing. So you have to be aware that happens. It's happened forever, and it will continue forever. So holding onto the exam protects very, very little. I like Rich's idea. Put them on the web page. If I've got 1,000 questions, and you can answer any one of them, you know the material.
Ideas that I had was to have, I mean, since you, I mean, and this Professor Reiser is trying to leave, I guess, but, you know, there's, I mean, it's a good thing that you guys are all you know, really trying to push this forward. But what I was thinking is if I could have one of you guys proctor the exam with us. Yeah, and the only role is to essentially just look around and tell us if you think there's any suspicious stuff going on. No, I said not.
So would there be a role for undergraduate proctors who are paid, I don't know, $50 or something? Seeing everyone shake their head.
Plus $1 per cheer.
$50 per cheer or something.
I'm trying to get.
I think that would make more sense if there was a government bond, basically a group of students that was basically a central authority that was made up of students, basically.
So are we looking at the safety patrol again?
The thinking about it now, how much of our work has to do with police and stuff, and how much of it is education? And clearly, we are in the area where we have to police. So I don't understand why we should not. I mean, it may be a bad idea for other reasons, but I think if we can do something about that issue, because. The point is that when you have a lot of questions, people asking questions to the proctors, and there's three proctors only, when you're answering the questions is when a lot of stuff happens. If there is one person, and it doesn't have to be undergrad, if I could get one extra proctor for every exam, who will just not answer any questions, but just answer, it could be grad students.
It needs to be an out department, so they don't even have the option to answer.
Right, there's no option, they're not
and that would, okay, that would get rid of nearly all the cheaters.
Well.
How about, well, this
question. But you said earlier, right, I think you hit it right on the nose. All the stuff we've been talking about for the last 10, 15 minutes about how to come up with solutions to stop cheating, how to deter people from cheating, that's like only addressing one side of the issue, right? There's going to be two sets of people. There are going to be people who cheat regardless, and all these methods are going to catch those and hopefully get them either kicked out or penalized. But then you've got people who you don't want to even, and may not cheat, but they might feel desperate enough to cheat because the class isn't tolerant. So I think part of the thing, if you want to convey some messages to the administration, is say there's got to be some responsibility in the administration to teach the class as well, to provide TAs that speak English can understand, and then can explain things to the students. I mean, you've got to be able to teach the class, right?
Yeah, but we're not going to be able to solve that right now.
Okay. Well, no, but
if you know, I agree.
Right, but there should be some accountability to the administration.
Sure, no, that's true. I mean. The cheaters who are committed to cheating will cheat. But what we're trying to do is to not induce people who otherwise would not cheat into cheating because
we
are
so
lax about
it.
So you know, I would be happy if we got cheating rates down from 30% to, you know, 2% or 1%. Okay? I think that would be, you know, more comparable to where, you know, the rest of the university. And what we're hearing from students is that the cheating is just way out of control in computer science compared to the other departments.
I've had students in 111 come out and not be able to teach their program themselves up to A because the selections were bad.
I think it's the best you can do. We're all the same class, you know? We all take the same class, so.
My name is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Sophomore. anyway, I have two suggestions I'd like to bring up. First of all, one is that I don't think that certain things should be penalized just to try to keep on preventing cheaters. For example, I've heard of exams where you're allowed cheat sheet, but because they were considering taking away that privilege just because people would leave the cheat sheet between the two seats, and obviously then the person next to them picks it up and takes whatever answers were written down. And you know, if you're using pencil, you usually erase that before you hand it in. I think, you know, if there were better watch of the seating areas and where people keep their belongings, that the people who might need the cheat sheet, so you don't have to memorize every formula, every function, don't get penalized, and they have to then work so much harder because you're trying to prevent the cheaters. The other, it was briefly mentioned, I'm not really sure who said it, was maybe encourage that if people want to work in groups on, let's say, programming assignments, that they have an option to do so, they don't have to. But if you may say you can have a two-people group, because I know something that with programming assignments that even in 314, sometimes it's just something that doesn't come to you. And then if you're talking about it with someone, you know, you're able to come up with a solution, but then you run into the problems, well, what if now that we both figured out the algorithm in the same way, now it's gonna look like we're cheating. So maybe if you were given the option, if you say, we work together, and that way you can maybe work
And that way, I think someone said, that way it wouldn't be looked at as you're cheating. You're working together. And if one the question I could say, well, what if one person does all the work and the other person does nothing? Well, then that person on the exam would be the one who would lose out.
I think that's a very simple solution then, scale.
In the back?
No,
right here.
In the middle.
I have a solution that one of my professors did, and I thought was just really genius. It was for my numerical analysis class, and depending on what number your social security number is, you change the variable of one of the variables in the exam. So that's one solution, I guess. The other thing is that I think many people have already addressed that the point that, you know, we're analyzing the situation from just one perspective mostly. And I think that we do have to work harder in enhancing the students' environment and their experience here as computer science students, because I think the environment has a lot to do with the fact, you know, why they are cheating. So maybe just allowing students, you know, to come up with more creative projects for classes might, you know, allow them to just, you know, do their best and actually come up with stuff that relates to the class.
Like writing wireless transmissions.
Okay, given we have about 10 minutes left, I would just like to see if there's no other solutions in terms of exams. What I do want to make sure we get recommendations on is the punishment that people receive.
Can I go over some quick disclosures? Okay. One thing that I think is really important, at the end of the exam, the teacher doesn't move. I think you had mentioned it. And basically, when the time's up for the exam, the time's up. The student still has an exam. You know, something has to happen to them. They pass it down the row. And that allows the teacher to view the class for the most part and see if anything's going on. I've seen exams where if you do it any other way, if you expect the teacher to go around and pick them up, it's a circus. And the things that happen in those last few minutes, it's unreal. Using a variable like the last few digits of a social security number, that's a good idea. It's kind of difficult for, those are for simple math problems that's reasonable. For other things, it's not. But some of the other things, having, you know, separating rows, these simple things have to be made. They're not, and they need to be. So I think, for the most part, a lot of these things are common sense. What I'm most interested in happening now is it actually gets done. I've been complaining about the same issue for 3 years. To all my, after every single exam that recently happened, there's a complaint about that. So I haven't seen anything in 3 years. I really like to see something done.
For punishments?
Yeah.
Other than, actually, I honestly feel that there is no portion of punishment, maybe, like, other than corporal punishment or physical punishment. No, I honestly believe that if someone is caught cheating, they need to be made an example of, they need to be kicked out of the university, they need to be, that's it. And if that happens enough and it's a public enough event, the problem is, of course, that it's, oh, you need to prove it, oh, that's not fair, oh, it's not right, oh, it was a mistake, oh, my dog died and I was under stress and I didn't get a chance to study, blah, 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 blah. So you get all that stuff, but you know, it really needs to be hardcore, you don't cheat, period. It's an option, it's a decision you made at that point in time. And it needs to be made clear that that's a decision that should never be taken. So I really believe if you make anything less than that, then it's, well, I was going to get a zero on this assignment if I didn't do it, so I cheated, and if they catch me, all right, I get a zero, no big deal. So no loss.
Very good point. This very strong policy. I'm sure it exists in the university for many years. In spite of that, this position, the situation keeps on getting worse.
Because it's not done. That's the reason. It's because it's too complex, and it's not done.
As it is, and we have to fix that part.
Right. That's what I mean. It needs to be done. But yeah, that's absolutely what I believe.
Well, yeah, I would actually disagree with Oliver on strong policy. Realistically, I think there needs to be some kind of, you know, initial penalty that, you know, maybe screws with your GPA so that the good students won't cheat. And, you know, gives a little sting to the students who do cheat. And, you know, if people keep cheating, that's when, you know, you bring out the heavy guns. So, because obviously this is one of these people who's sort of this habitual cheater that many people describe, you know, who cheats a lot. So,
yeah, I would disagree with Dr. Martin again. I've heard that after professors who don't want to go through a bone process of cheating because the punishment is too severe for someone who's just cheated once. But again, something that get hurt from the first time, and then if they repeat, then the processes follow through, I think would be very effective. As long as it's universally carried out, every professor follows through on it.
So one thing that we've done is negative points. And just a show of hands, how many people think that would be reasonable?
Another 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. How about dropping one grade?
Make it two.
Two.
How about two grades?
Two grades. Drop the meeting.
How many people prefer negative points? How many people would prefer negative points over two grades? Negative points of whatever the things work. So if things work 20% of your grade, you get negative points.
Well, can I jump in? So I think there are a lot of things were said, and they are very important here, and you're not going to get a recommendation that deals with everything you want. But one of the most important things is uniformity. It's not just uniformity within a class, it's uniformity across classes, across professors, and I would tell you uniformity up through the dean's level. You know, I want to know if somebody cheated in my class, and it's the first time we've ever seen them in computer science, if they also cheated in math. This has got to go to the dean's level, and it has to involve reporting to the dean that says, this has happened in our department, this is the student's name, and here's what happened. Rich's point about giving them a zero and negative points, I feel passionate about. If somebody doesn't know anything and they walk into the exam and they hand me an empty exam, they get a zero. Somebody comes in and cheats and I give them a zero as a punishment, I'm looking at myself wondering, what am I doing here? This is the same honest person that knew nothing as the cheater who's trying to get away with something. So I would suggest negative points, and I'd suggest negative points equal to the value of the assignment. That's how much it was worth. You thought you could cheat on it, negative that. As a first offense, a record which says, you know, we know you did it. We keep the record private. I'm all for privacy. I don't think anybody but probably a dean, maybe a department chair, will know the names of the person. When it comes the second time, they look in their record, say, oh, look, it's the second time. That's a separation offense. And I think getting a uniform policy for everybody that has these kinds of components, asking the faculty and the students to get together, have a way that a student, they don't know your name, but you suggested a website, you know, a tip line. Somebody cheated, they can report it. Put in simple mechanisms, and as Professor Ryder said, ask everybody to buy in. I'll say this. When I go home tonight, I'm going to get on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I'm going to go faster than 65 miles an hour. And it's because it's accepted. And we're allowing this to happen because we accept it, and we got to change it. And the only way to do it is build some uniform policies and get together as a community and address it. Been nice talking about it, but the test is going to be whether you act on it, whether we act on it. If you come back 6 months from now and look at the same group and we've got the same complaints, we didn't do it.
If your car was taken away for speeding, though, you probably would.
That's true. I'd argue for points the first time and suspension the second, because given especially where we are today, there's a lot of cheating, and I think you need to make people aware that we're going to be serious about it, these punishments. And in a few years when we're really serious about it, maybe you can up the ante. But for now, you need to be a little gentle going in, but you need to make it serious. If somebody gets negative points on a 200-point assignment out of a 1,000-point course, they're in deep trouble. The message is clear.
I agree.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other comments? At this point, I'd like to thank the panelists. We do have a gift for all of them. Thank them for coming. Also, at this time, we'd like to do the raffle for the three events. Here, you want to do that?
Yep.